Our lesson this morning will be the second part of what we began last week, which was the role of the angels and the nature of the angels. We saw there in our study last week that the angels are referred to as sons of God. Just like Adam, just like man, you and me, and even Satan himself was referred to as a son of God. Christ also, of course, was referred to as the son of God, but the difference was that he was begotten, the only one, and that is a different than being created a son of God. His birth came as a result of a promise that was made. And we saw a good example of this. We found there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, where Isaac is called the only begotten son of Abraham, when we know that Abraham had other children. So there's a difference. They were sons of God, possibly, because they may have believed, but the one that was promised, Christ, through Isaac, was told that the seed of the woman would come through him and that it was therefore begotten in Isaac, the only begotten son of God, promised then, of course, to Abraham and also to Sarah. Then we saw in Jude chapter 2 and 2 Peter, or Jude and 2 Peter, that these sons of God or angels revolted their rank. They left their spiritual bodies. They were referred to as fallen angels. The nature of this fall was a revolt or insurrection that is clearly stated. They, like we, have been given a will, a free will, and they can choose to do, they can choose to believe God or not, and they didn't. And don't forget, they had supernatural power, these spiritual beings that God created, these angels. It is described in like manner to that of Sodom and Gomorrah, is one of the ways in which this insurrection is referred to, or this fall. It says they looked, or they saw, they looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair. It's referred to as strange flesh in the scripture. Not like their bodies, but remember, their bodies were something that we can't quite comprehend. They can be invisible. They can turn themselves into something that can have children with humans. The time of this fall is given as in the days of Noah, and it puts it at Genesis, the 6th chapter. So look at that in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 6. I think we read this maybe last week, but we're going to pick up there this week. Genesis chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There's an interesting fact with that verse that goes most often unseen. If you look at that verse 3 in the Hebrew, where it says, "And my spirit shall not always strive with man," in the Hebrew, if the article is not with the man, it refers to mankind in general. But if the article, the word the, if the is included with man, it refers to one man, and that man is the man Adam. Now, with that information, the verse begins to take on a whole different meaning. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with the man Adam, for that he is also flesh," which we knew. Adam was created flesh, not like the angels. "Yet his days shall be 120 years." Now, most have taken that to mean that the life of a man today, average, would be 120 years. But what that is referring to, that is referring to Adam and Adam's age at that time. So, now we start to go dig deeper. This is graduate level stuff we're looking at here, not first grade. If you look at B.C., 4004, Adam was created. How long did Adam live? Well, we know that Adam lived 930 years. So we put B.C., 930 years, puts it at 3,074, Adam dies. But this verse was when Adam was 820 years old. So the date then is 6:3. Because we are looking at Adam when he was 820 years old. And the Lord gave Adam, in that verse, 120 years of grace. And he died at 930 years old. You ever hear that before? No? So, the year of the flood then Noah's flood occurred. We know that it occurred in 2348. That's easy to remember, by the way. That's the address of the Bible for them. Doesn't have anything to do with it. But we know in Scripture by Scripture, we know that the flood year was 2348, and that Adam, we know the year that Adam died, according to Scripture, which was 930 years. And so now this helps us to date this verse in Genesis in the sixth chapter in the third verse. So, if you subtract these two, you had 846 years of angel seed mixed with man. And the flood, of course, was 1,656 years after the creation of Adam. For this, God has reserved these angels. This 646 years plus, God has reserved these angels for their polluting of the human race unto judgment, and are described as being in prison. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. You don't need to go there. But what happened when they took upon daughters of men, they became half of each. And what has happened, they are trapped in death. God warned them not to do these things, but they did it anyway, not realizing the effect of it. And so now they're trapped in death, and they cannot get out. Who got out? Christ. He came into the flesh, but he had the power to come out. These angels are trapped there, and we read about that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. So, look at verse 4 then of this sixth chapter. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I repented God that he had made man, not man himself, but because of what the angels had done to the human race. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They polluted, they corrupted it, they ruined it. And Noah and his family were the only ones left who did not have, whose pedigree was still good. They did not have any of this 846 years of angel dust or seed into their race. Their pedigree was pure. That's why the Lord decided to save them. So God decided to destroy everything else that was half angel and half human with the flood. And that was the only the only reason for the flood, to kill the Nephilim, which Nephilim is translated fallen ones or giants, monsters of iniquity, superhuman in size and superhuman in strength. Now, there's a little trick there in verse 4 read, there were giants in the earth in those days, that's being spoken about here, and also after that. So that gives you a hint that something else was to happen after the flood. This eruption of the fallen angels was Satan's first attempt to prevent the coming of the seed of the woman, Christ, as was foretold and promised there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And just as soon as it was made known that the seed was to come through Abraham and Sarah, there was another attempt, an eruption by Satan to stop it. And that's what's being referred to here in verse 4, and also after that. It happened again. It was actually 402 years then after the flood, after this time, that the angels did the same thing all over again. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. You should be at chapter 6 already. Page over to chapter 12. This is the rest of the story. If you remember Paul Harvey, he always had the rest of the story. Chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is the covenant that God was making with Abraham. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land into the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Satan knew of the coming one, and he tries to stop it again. The first fall was to pollute the race, to stop it there in Genesis 6. He almost succeeded. He came close to succeeding, but God intervened and destroyed all except Noah and his family. Now here, Satan aims at Abraham and his land. And this is the second effort as described in Genesis 4, and after that, quote. Of course, this is still the conflict that's going on today. He preoccupied the territory in dispute of the land. Verse 6, the Canaanite was there. Turn over a few pages to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now we just read that. Saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the greatest river, the river of Euphrates, the Canaanites, and the Kenizzites, and the Gadamites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. They were all there. Satan put them there. And a dispute is still there today over this land. Israel has never actually occupied the whole land. It's been close a few times, but they've never had the whole land because they would not believe God. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers, book of Numbers, chapter 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and those men were heads of the children of Israel. Jump now to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. Now let's jump over to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So there was the results again of fallen angels. Giants in the land. And it was then for the destruction of these, like they wanted to go up there and do them in. That was what the sword or the armies of Israel came to be for. The flood before, but now with these giants in the land, they wanted to do away with them. So Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. It's the next book over. Verse 17. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. That's what the nation's army and the sword was for, to go in there and get rid of these giants. We can see in Joshua chapter 3, page 294. Chapter 3. Beginning with verse 10. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you unto Jordan. So this was going to be a real task. But Israel didn't have a whole lot of faith. They had the Ark of the Covenant. And if you can read about that, if the Ark of the Covenant went before them in battle, they always did away with their enemies. Sure, some of them were killed, but they were always successful. But they failed in doing what they were asked to do by the Lord and by Joshua. Joshua got old. We do not know how many of these Rephaim were not killed, but we do know by Scripture that some of them escaped and got away, and that they were not successful in doing away with them as the Lord was with the flood. If the truth of it were known, if we knew for sure, probably it would go a long way in solving some of the problems of anthropology today. Because even today, there is this small portion of this gene pool that's still in the human race as a result of this fall of the angels. They contaminated the gene pool. Once in a while, it crops through. You know what the tallest man in the world is today? 8'6". You know what the tallest woman today is in the world? 8'3". This is just supposition on my part, but I think that that's probably some of the old pool coming through in the genes, along with a lot of other things that we don't understand with regard to anthropology. Humans that are not right. Different races of humans. Different colors of humans. More than likely a result of what these angels did to the human race. They were men of renown, great, mighty, tall, feared, as we read here by the spies. They were able to build things that have perplexed engineers even today. Engineers are saying, how in that? How did they do this without cranes and without sextants? And how did they manage to do this, these men of renown? Stones the size that we can hardly move them today, even with modern engineering and technology and power. They are the origins of what we read about in Greek mythology. We even see programs today about this when you see some of the programs like Ancient Alien Astronauts. They're seeing things that the Greeks saw in the Greek mythology. Not mere inventions of man, but a lot of traditions and memories and legends of this mighty race that existed on the earth. Regarded eventually as demigods by the Greeks. And today man struggles still to find how in the world what is and what went on with these beings. This great conflict between the sons of God or Satan and God is seen throughout the Bible. It's seen in archaeology. It's seen in the historical record. It's seen in the fossil record. It is one of the Bible's great and important subjects. And we see it through a glass darkly. We wish we knew more. But you can't turn your back on it. Science is pretty well educated and smart. The earth is older than 6,000 years old. There were things that went on before, and this is indication of that. These fallen angels were but one attempt to spoil the purpose of God's plan. Time and time again, Satan strikes out, but God in each case had to interfere and avert the evil of which his servants and people were wholly ignorant of. They should have known. They would have kept that Ark of the Covenant. If they would have used that Ark of the Covenant, they could have been successful. Here are a few of the other onslaughts to stop the promised seed. One, the destruction of the chosen family by famine. You remember that story? The coat of many colors, Joseph. They think he's dead and he ends up down there and he's in charge of all the food in Egypt. God intervened. Another time, the destruction of the male line by the Hebrew maid midwives of the command of the king of Egypt during captivity. God intervened. The destruction of the whole nation as Pharaoh's pursuit when they left Egypt. They tried to leave and he chased after them, was going to kill them all. God intervened. When David's line was singled out and David enthroned, then the royal line was assailed. The Arabians slew all of his children except Ahaziah. And when Ahaziah died, all of the seed royal was killed, but Joaz was rescued as a baby, and God intervened. King Hezekiah was near death and was childless, but God intervened and gave him another 15 years. In captivity, Haman was used to attempt the destruction of the whole nation. Mary, the mother of Jesus, could have been stoned if it were not for Joseph who could have divorced her, but God intervened and let him know the truth. Herod sought to kill Christ by killing all the children that were 2 years of age or under. Satan tried to trick Christ by temptation. Two storms on the lake were another attempt to drown him, if possible. But at last, as prophesied, the cross is reached. The tomb is closed. The watch is set. The stone is sealed. But again, God intervenes and resurrects him from death. And now it, the seed, Christ is seated, expecting his church hidden on high, where Satan cannot go because he was cast out with the angels that fell. And of course, he came to earth. He didn't go out in space. He came here. And the victory is ours because we are seated there with him. Now, I've had this lesson to try to illustrate the magnitude of the problem. Most people and Christians don't understand that we're not dealing with a nation or a countries or just an earth. We are dealing with a universe with legions and legions of angels, one third of who left their natural state and fell to earth. We know the results and what we live in, the turmoil, the crooked, perverse world is a result of these angels and their fall. And the purpose of God's plan is to correct this with a new heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness, and a new earth. And so I wanted to show you that this is big. Most people don't see it. Why? They don't read the scripture. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you much for the scripture. And we're thankful that you are mindful of us. We're grateful that we can learn, that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. And that knowledge gives us an understanding and a peace that passes understanding. This we pray in Christ's name, that promised seed. Amen.